Happy 4th of July.
Yes.
Independence Day. Amen. As we wear our colors of old glory, we want to remember and honor where her glory came from. Amen. And only from God. Pastor Mark asked me to share something this morning, read from David Barton's Founders Bible, and has a lot of historical things in it, and it's really good. And so I found some things I want to read to you. Hopefully it won't be too long. It's just about 4 or 5 paragraphs. But it blessed me, and it's kind of what I wanted to say that I feel like the Lord has for us. So let's read. America did not become the world's greatest superpower by accident. The principles that were sown into the fabric and foundation of our society in a large part are what has enabled America to become the most prosperous, freest nation on earth with the most enduring constitutional government known to man. Those are no small feats. But America is not just great because of the great ideas that gave her birth and the great ideals by which she lives. America has been great because for the most part she has been good. She has been the defender of freedom, a help to the needy, a rescuer of those in crisis, as opposed to a tyrannical dictator with a global hunger for conquest. She has been a benevolent force of stability and blessing to much of the world. Whose nations have been in trouble, America, more often than not, has come to their aid as the biggest global mobilizer of help. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Praise God. Yet what has made this nation great is not just the ideas and the ideals or the hard work ethic. It's not just that its people have sought to do good, to serve others, to care for the needy, or to help those in crisis. It's not just her willingness to fight for freedom and for the freedom of others. All those things are great. They're noble and worthy ends. No, the truest source of America's greatness is that she has belonged to God. At her founding, she dedicated herself to his purpose. And for the most of her history, she has honored him as the true source of all her many blessings. I know of no other nation whose most oft-repeated phrase or closing reference from the overwhelming majority of its leaders down through the history to this very day is, God bless America. It is a prayer as well as an honest acknowledgement. The original covenant that was established on the shores of Virginia in 1607 dedicated this land to God's purpose of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the world. They purposed to raise up godly generations after themselves and call for this covenant of dedication to remain to all generations as long as the earth remains. No, the dream is not dead, neither is hope. For where there is breath, there's always hope. God is not dead, and his purposes for this land are not finished. Yes, there's much work to do. Yes, the challenges are great. But a triumphant, self-willed arrogance will be of little help in the face of such seemingly insurmountable difficulties. But James 4:6 declares, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The last thing we need is some chest-beating, fist-pumping display of proud arrogance. We are in serious trouble and very much in need of God's gracious help. But the dream still exists. All it needs is a few dreamers who have both the courage and the humility, for it will need both, to choose to walk in the footsteps of our forefathers. Amen. We are not alone, and the promises remain. 2 Chronicles, and we're going to read this verse. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, my people, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. That's our promise. The principles upon which this nation was founded and which, when followed, have allowed it to be exceptional, those principles are not dead. They remain to be applied and are proven to be effective. The documents of freedom forged in the furnace of affliction are meant to be enduring and a guiding light. They are still very much intact. and need only to be followed. But principles are not what has made this great nation. It's the people who have embraced them and lived it out that make it great. Some would say that America is teetering on the brink of disaster. I would say perhaps she is standing in the doorway of an unfinished destiny. May we be a generation who take up the torch of liberty and choose, having done all, to stand therefore, to be a people who covenant to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God. That is the key to our former greatness, and it is what will make this nation great again. This is an America we can all be proud of. May she once again rise to the challenge and soar. Amen. God bless you, and God bless America.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Wilda. Amen. Happy Independence Day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Good to have you here. I know we have a lot of people on vacation, but we are so glad to have Daniel and Heather Hindy sitting right there. Praise God. Amen. 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 Man, good to see you guys. And I got up here and I see Renita Jenkins back there in the back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. How you doing back there? Amen. Tony, how you doing? He's waiting on you hand and foot, right? Good, good, good. Keep it up, keep it up. Good to have you. Good to see you. Good to see all of you. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Got some good things for you this morning. Praise God. That was good. That was good. Thank you, Margaret. And youth looked like they had a wonderful time. Glory to God. I was listening to a CD from years ago, or actually one of those MP3s or whatever you call them. And Brother Hagin, it reminded me of an old joke I heard him tell a couple of times, but this college professor, and he wasn't, you know, most college professors, like the Holsingers there in Texas, I think this weekend, are very polite, very kind, very gracious, but he was a little, you know, into himself and not necessarily a real nice guy, but he was out in the, Heather's, Daisy shaking her head like I've met him. And then, he was out in the field doing some work, and so he came to this river. He's an anthropologist. He came to this river, and he had to get across this river, so this old farmer came along and gave him a ride across the river because it was a long way from, you know, like 75 yards from one side to the other. And so this college professor realized that the old farmer was uneducated, and he said, "You know anything about anthropology?" And the old farmer said, "No, I don't know anything about anthropology." He goes, "Oh my God!" He said, "You've missed a quarter of your life." And so he got to smirking and thinking about that. And he said, "You know anything about sociology?" He goes, "No, I don't even know what that is." He goes, "Oh, you've missed half your life." So he said, "You know anything about psychology?" He goes, "No, I don't know anything about that." He said, "You've missed three quarters of your life." And he got to laughing and chuckling at the old farmer and tipped the canoe over, you know, and fell out in the water. So he went under the water and he came up gasping for breath. And the old farmer looked at him and said, "You know anything about swimology?" He said, "No, I don't even know how to swim." He said, "You've missed all your life." Anyway, praise God. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Hallelujah. We want to talk about fanning the flames of revival, personal revival and corporate revival. Both are important. And let's begin this morning with Romans chapter 12, verse number 11. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 12, 11 says, "Not lagging in diligence." Now watch this. "Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The Amplified Bible says, "Never lacking behind in diligence, aglow." You know, if something's aglow, it's hot, it's white hot. "Aglow in the spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord." Everybody say enthusiastically. Yes. Other translations say, "Be on fire in the spirit as you serve the Lord." Another one says, "Be excited about serving Him." And the Message Bible says, "Keep yourselves fueled and aflame." That's our responsibility. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. This morning, I want to give you four characteristics of revival. Four characteristics of revival. You could call this four ingredients to revival. And these four characteristics, when present in our lives, lead to personal revival, where you're having experiences with God, where you're walking with God as you should, and you're being used of God, and you're experiencing manifestations of the presence of God in your own personal life. These four characteristics, when present, lead to personal revival or to corporate revival. I've always said that if nobody in the entire earth is revived, if every Christian on the face of the earth is lukewarm and there's not much move of God anywhere, you personally can experience revival and stay on fire for God. You personally can. Amen? Glory to God. By doing certain things. But of course, what we want is personal and collective or corporate revival. So are you ready? The first forerunner to revival is, number one, spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger. Anytime you see an individual that's on fire for God, anytime you see a group of people that's on fire for God, experience revival and enjoying the presence of God and moves of God, you can trace it directly back to the fact that they got hungry for God. Oftentimes, just one individual just turned to God with all their heart and begin to seek God. And when they begin to seek God, they found Him. Praise God. Our whole groups of people. And when you study revivals from the past, what you'll find, and whether it's the Welch revival or this revival or that revival, what you'll find time and time again, it's just a group of people, a group of people got together and they begin to pray. And they begin to seek God earnestly and want more of God in their life and want more of His will for their lives. And that sparked whole revivals. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so when an individual, like I said, when they just get hungry for God, when they seek God, when they want more of His presence, when they want to surrender to His will, not my will, but Your will be done, and they want that, and they look to that, and they want to see more of that, and they begin to cry out to God and to hunger for God, then wonderful. I'm telling you, some wonderful and mighty things begin to happen. When we're hungry for God, we begin to press in. And when you press into the things of God, God fills us with good things. Can you say amen? James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That's a command with a promise, or a directive with a promise. When you draw close, when you draw near, then He'll draw near to you. Psalms 107:9 says, for He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Jesus said, of course, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. When I see Daniel there, when Jude was with us. Jude is probably watching this morning. Good morning, Jude, and all your family from Nigeria. When Jude was with us, because, you know, we Americans, we're not the trimmest people on the face of the earth. And we eat, you know, whether we're hungry or not. It's just time to eat. And so Jude was going with us, and we were taking him to eat, and taking him to eat, and taking him to eat. And I think he told Daniel, he goes, Daniel, it's good sometimes to be hungry before you eat. When people are hungry, they eat. When people are thirsty, they drink. Praise God. Well, get hungry for God. Get thirsty for God. Amen. So if you want to be revived, listen. If you want to be revived, you want a spiritual renewal just in your own personal life, maybe you just want to get back to where you used to be, you're not there anymore, then stir yourself up, draw close to God, get hungry, get in the Word, get to praying, and get to church. I promise you, if you'll do those things just as an act of your will, then that hunger and it will grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Two or three times in my life, I've lost 15, 18, 25 pounds, and you know, when I'd started, I had to be very, very disciplined. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. But, you know, after 3 or 4 weeks of not eating, I didn't have much. It was easier because I didn't have much of an appetite. But, you know, it ain't the more you eat, the less you want. No, the more you eat, the more you want. Amen. Well, do that spiritually. And, you know, that's one of the few places that God gives us the permission to go ahead and be a glutton. Amen. Eat all the words you want to eat. Pray all you want. Drink of the Spirit all you want to. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Doing these things will cause us, will fan getting hungry, get in the Word, get to praying, get to church. Doing these things will fan the flames of revival in your life. May not happen overnight, you know, if you've kind of strayed away, but it'll happen. It's interesting. I read James 4:8, or quoted James 4:8. draw near to God and He will draw close to you. But it's very, very interesting. Saw some things I never saw about that before. In context, you need to read all of James chapter 4. I encourage you to do that. Maybe we'll look at it in a minute. But in context, where he says, draw near to God, and you know, in that very same, in that chapter, it starts out with God telling the people, now this may not be true of you, but James is talking to people that have in essence lost their first love. They're too involved with the world. They're loving the world. They're pursuing the world. They're pursuing the pleasures of this world, the lust of this world, and so forth. And James says, you're committing spiritual adultery. In other words, instead of God being your first love, the world is your first love. Oh, you may still come to church a little bit. You may still tithe. You may witness to somebody every once in a while. But he says, you're not really in tune with God. You're not really loving for God. You're spiritual adulteries. And he says in that context, he says, look, submit to God and resist the devil. Say yes to God and say no to the devil. Are you listening to me? He's called them spiritual adulterers because instead of loving God as they should, they're living for the world, they're friends with the world, they're yielding to worldly pleasures. Now, this may not be true of you, but if it is true of you, if this is true of you, before you can experience spiritual renewal and begin to experience manifestations of God's presence again and experience revival in your own personal life, then you need to recognize your true spiritual condition. In this chapter, in those same verses, it says you need to humble yourselves. You need to weep and mourn. You need to recognize where you're at spiritually. And if you do, then the grace of God will come on you. He will lift you up. And as you draw close to God, He'll draw close to you. Amen. That's the context. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Amen. So again, he says, you know, if you've got things in your life that are wrong, humble yourself. Glory to God. Mourn over your sin and repent and draw close to God. Now, so that you don't think I made that up, let me read that to you. Glory to God. You lust and do not have, James 4:2. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses. Not talking about sexual adultery. Do you not know that friendship with this world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Amen. See, we quote these scriptures, therefore. Well, stop and see what it's there for. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen. You see that in context? Praise God, glory to God. But draw close to God, and he'll draw close to you. So spiritual hunger and desire for God, individually and corporately as a group, is the first step to spiritual renewal and revival. And sometimes that means that the Christian has to, you know, just has to say, well, you know, I just don't consider myself just totally backslidden. I don't know what half backslidden is, but I don't consider myself just totally backslidden. But there are something in my life that's wrong, some things in my life that are wrong, and instead of repenting of those things and dealing with those things and fighting the good fight of faith again, I've just kind of ignored those things. No, you need to be willing to repent. Sometimes you need to be willing to repent and turn to God and draw close to God and be hungry for God again and do the first works again. And again, get in the Word, get in prayer, get in church, and get hungry. Glory to God. Spiritual hunger is the first step to revival. Can you say amen? A second characteristic of revival is expectation. Do you expect God to move in your life? Do you expect God to show you things, to deal with you, to comfort you, to help you, to show you things to come? Do you expect moves of the Spirit? Do you expect in prayer for God to say things to you? Hebrews 11:6 says, for he who comes to God, of course, Hebrews 11 is all about faith, you know. And of course, faith is nothing is more expectant than faith. says, but for he who comes to God, says, without faith it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek after him. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, we are to strongly desire, the word there means to strongly desire, we are to strongly to desire things that pertain to the Spirit. We should expect God to move in our lives, and we should expect God to move in our midst. We should desire and look for manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you don't desire those things and look for them and expect them, then you won't have them. Brother Hagin said, I used to go to churches, and he said, we'd go to churches and we'd just have to have a tremendous flow of the Spirit of God and tremendous moves of the Spirit of God. And he said, at that particular church, I hadn't done any extra praying. Now, he was always praying, but he said, I didn't do any extra praying or extra fasting or anything. He said, I'd go to other churches, and he said, we'd just know, you know, very little manifestations or demonstrations of the Spirit or moves of the Spirit. He said, sometimes at those churches, I'd be doing, you know, a lot of extra praying, a lot of extra fasting about these things and asking, you know, seeking God and so forth. And he said, I had that happen to me time and time and time and time and time again over a number of years. He said, in seeking the Lord, he said, the Lord said those churches that you go to where you have manifestations and demonstrations of the Spirit is where the people have been taught about these things, they desire these things, and they expect these things. The churches you go to that they have very little move of the Spirit, he said, they've been taught very little about along these lines. And it kind of goes hand in hand when you hadn't been taught much about it. You don't desire it. You don't expect it. And he said, that's why, even though you're there and you're ready and, you know, that you don't have very, very much. So desire. That's what he says, you know. That's the context. I read that 1 Corinthians 14:1 in a while ago. He's talking about things of the Spirit, manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he says, desire. Pursue love and sincerely, strongly desire manifestations of the Spirit. Glory to God. One man said, in moves of God, people begin to come to, in moves of God, people begin to come together expecting God to manifest Himself among them. Rarely does God ever show up in power and glory among a people who are totally shocked and surprised to see Him. In other words, spiritual hunger and expectancy. In other words, spiritual hunger and expectancy are almost always present when God begins to move. If we're spiritually hungry and expect spiritual experiences in our lives, and we ought to constantly be having spiritual experiences in our lives. Amen. And manifestations of God in our lives, and we have a little bit of knowledge of the Holy Ghost and how He works, and we're in tune with the Spirit, then on a, you know, we're just going on a regular basis, we're going to be saying things. Just your own personal life, you're going to be saying things like, the Lord showed me this the other day. Or just the other day, I had this impression from the Spirit. Or it seems the Lord was dealing with me about this. You know, if you're walking with God, He's going to be dealing with you about things. Dealing with you about things you're not doing that you should be doing, and vice versa. Or He's just going to be dealing with you, taking you up to a higher level in different areas of your life. Or dealing with you about this or the other. Or while praying, I had this experience. Or I had this experience the other day. Or Margaret comes to me all the time with her Bible in her hand, and she's going, let me show you something. I was praying and the Lord showed me this. Well, if we're not on a fairly regular basis having those kinds of experiences, then probably something's missing. Probably something's wrong. You know, maybe we've got things in our lives we need to repent of, or we're just not as spiritually hungry as we ought to be and we're not expecting these things, or we've just allowed other things to take up too much of our time. A lot of other things out there. You know, even, you know, legitimate pleasures of life can cool your spiritual fire if you spend too much time with them. Obviously, illegitimate pleasures would cool your spiritual fire. I like something I read by Gloria Malone. Gloria Copeland. I know Gloria Malone. But Gloria Copeland said this, how is your spiritual maintenance? The cares and anxieties of this world and distractions of this age, and she's quoting Mark 4:19 here from the Amplified Bible. He says, the cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions of this age, and the pleasures and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless in your life. Do you know that seemingly innocent things in your everyday life can suffocate your spiritual life if you allow it? A friend of mine said the Lord told her in prayer one day that this nation had become a nation of maintenance men. You have so many things to maintain, he told her. You maintain your house, you maintain your car, your yard, your machines, your hair, on and on and on and on. And it's true. You can become a maintainer of so many natural things that you don't have any time left to maintain your own spirit. When you find yourself in that situation, it's time, here's a good word, simplify your life. Simplify your life. I've had to learn that myself. Now, when I'm considering something I think I need, I just don't count the cost in dollars and cents. Listen now. I just don't count the cost in dollars and cents. I think about how much time it will take to maintain it. I check to see if I can spiritually afford it. Man, that's good. 2 Timothy 2:4 tells us to not get entangled in the affairs of this life. One thing I've learned over the last 45 years, nothing is as important as spending time in prayer and in the Word with the Father. Absolutely nothing in my life is as vital as that. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, a third precursor to revival is prayer. Amen. Prayer. And of course, you could talk about this till Jesus comes back. But how prayer and revival, prayer and moves of God, prayer and spiritual renewal. Let me just read something. I read this so many years ago and it blessed me then. It still blesses me today, by E.W. Kenyon. He said, prayer brings you into a personal fellowship and touch with the Father and with the Spirit and with Jesus. All three of the Godhead are brought into the prayer life. You're praying to the Father. You're praying in the name of Jesus. You're praying through the Holy Spirit. Your prayer is based on the Word. It brings this earth heart of ours into contact with the heavenly center of all divine power and activity. You can't spend any length of time in prayer without being affected by it. The quietness, the unshaken faith, the deep, unsounded peace that pervades the Godhead will overflow into the prayer's life. Said an anxious and nervous mother, you'll have to forgive me, children, but I forgot to visit the Master this morning, and so I lack His quietness and His strength. Many of us can make that confession that our irritability, weakness, and lack of spiritual insight and power comes from not sitting at the presence of the Maker. One cannot spend an hour in conscious communion with the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and the Word without carrying away from that place the fragrance that fills the atmosphere. There's a heavenly fragrance about Jesus that lingers with the prayers. They are slow to speak, slow to judge. They are quick to love and quick to help. There's a holy calmness about their lives that challenges the restless ones. They crave that quietness of spirit. Again, we cannot spend time with them without partaking of their stability and their unshakableness. One who is easily disturbed and one who in the jolts of life is unseated will find a new strength and steadiness that will make him a blessing to the world by spending just a little time with the rock of our strength. You see, a few moments with him tunes us up, fills the battery, adjusts the carburetor, and makes it easy for us to face life's uneven conditions. It gives us poise and holy dignity in our contacts. Man, I like that. So much you could say. Like I said, you can trace every revival that I've ever heard about back to a few people or just one person who prayed for it and birthed it in prayer. People who pray experience God. People who pray fine-tune their spirit. People who pray hear from God. People who pray pave the way for God to move in. People who pray become saturated with glory and power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? And then finally, the fourth characteristics of revival is, now watch this, listen, personal obedience to the promptings of the Spirit in your life. Personal obedience to the promptings of the Spirit in your life. In 1 John 2:5, you know, they were out of wine, and Mary looked at the servants and said, whatever he, Jesus, whatever he says, do it. I got a question, Mary. Does that mean when he tells us to go and fill up water, things with water and taking them to the governor for him to test like it's wine, does that mean do that too? Yes. Does that mean get up and run around the building if I just have an impression to do it? Or yes. Does that mean walk up to somebody in the grocery store and say, you know, I see you're troubled and I just feel like I should pray for you? Does that mean, yes. Does that mean that I have a $500 need and I've got $390, but this is for somebody else, they might need $50,000, but this is a serious need for me. I've got a $500 need. I really need to do that. And I've got $390 and the Lord tells me to give $300 of it. That seems unreasonable. That doesn't seem a lot. Does that mean I should do that? Yes. Great and mighty things happen. Manifestations of the Spirit happen. Revivals happen when people yield to the promptings and leading of the Spirit. Whole church services are prayed when somebody yields boldly to the Holy Ghost and stands up and prophesies instead of going, is that me or is that God? Well, was you thinking about it? No. Just all of a sudden came to my heart, and I'm holding on to the back of the pew because I just feel like I have to do it. I wonder if that's me or not. Are you kidding me? Whole services have changed and the glory of God failed because one person got up and under the unction. Now you can get up and do it in the flesh, I understand, but we'll take care of those things. Got up and just yielded to the Holy Ghost and just danced a jig. Glory to God. In Mark 16:20, you know, this is the Great Commission. After Jesus gave him the commission to go out and preach, teach, and heal the sick, and raise the dead, and lay hands, you know, all that stuff. It says, he went about, Jesus was working with them. As they went forth preaching, he worked with them. He doesn't work apart from us. He works with us. Amen. He works with us, and he works through us. God doesn't walk up to somebody in the grocery store and say, I see you're troubled, I want to pray for you. No, he moves on some believer to do that. Amen. God doesn't go up and hand somebody $100. No, he moves on some believer to do that. Glory to God. He doesn't prophesy. An angel doesn't appear and prophesy at church. No, he moves on some believer and they prophesy. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. When God leads you or impresses you or guides you or moves on you or inspires you to do something, if you want to experience moves of God and manifestations of the Spirit and have experiences in God, then move when he moves on you. I was in that famous service so many years ago where Keith Moore began to sing that song, when the Spirit gets to moving, let him move. You can't make it happen, but you have to let it happen. So many times with me, I'll just begin to see something. I don't mean I have a vision. I just begin to imagine or see myself doing something. And I just go out and act on what I saw myself do. I heard about a man, he went to Mac Hammond's church. You gave me that book, you know. He went to Mac Hammond's church, and so with their Holy Ghost meetings, when people begin to just yield to the Spirit and laughing and dancing and rejoicing and so forth, he began to yield to the Spirit. And Mac taught his people, you know, there's a greater purpose in this. This is so that you can yield to him when it comes to witnessing to somebody or going up to that person in the grocery store or praying for somebody or whatever. And this man said he was visiting somebody in the hospital and he walked by room after room after room, and all of a sudden he just began to kind of have an image of him walking into this particular room and praying for this man. Well, you have to be bold and you have to yield. And he said, but because I had begun to hear people explain these things and talk about these things and begin to yield to the Spirit myself, he said, I just obeyed that and walked in and asked the man if I could pray for him. Well, he didn't say no. He was glad he was going to pray for him. And he just didn't say a sweet little prayer for him and walk out and the man say thank you. He prayed for the man, and I forgot the sickness, but it was very, very serious, and the man was instantly healed by the power of God. You're not going to have experiences like that unless you personally obey the promptings and leadings of the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen. If you do, you just every time I see you, you're going to be telling me, every time I see Tony, he's telling me how he went and got somebody to lunch that he was thinking about and praying about. And he went and talked to them, and they were having some kind of problem, and he was able to pray with them, or he was able to lead them to the Lord, or he was able to get them. I mean, constantly, because he yields to the Holy Ghost. And I mean, it doesn't have to be anything spectacular. It just may the Holy Ghost just may lead you to reach over somebody right near your church and just grab their hand and just give them a word of encouragement. But if the Holy Ghost prompts you to do something, please, 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 please do it. Yield. Everybody say yield.
Yield.
Glory to God. When people step out, you have to be bold. You have to yield. It takes faith. When he comes on you to do something, whatever it is, it takes faith, it takes boldness, it takes yieldedness. Well, when people step out to obey the leadings of the Spirit, great and mighty things happen. If he leads you to give somebody some money, yield and do it. If he impresses you to get up and run, get up and run. Now, I know there's some stupid things today done, but like I said, we can handle that. I like it, liken it to those magicians, you know, into Pharaoh. You know, they threw down their rods and they turned into snakes, but it was by some kind of magic trick. Wasn't God, in other words. Well, Moses' rod, when he threw it down, turned, he swallowed up all those fake snakes. Yeah. Amen. The true and the real will just swallow up all the stuff that's done in the flesh or that's not really God.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, for instance, being back at Raymond, people would run, and I mean, they were like the bad example maybe, but they were like the madmen of Gadara. I mean, the Holy Ghost was on them, and they were... Last time I was there, people were jogging and they were talking to one another. You know. Oh yeah, that's what we do. That wasn't hard for me to judge if that wasn't the Holy Ghost, you know. But when it's truly the Holy Ghost, we said, well, the Holy Ghost, you know, Brother Hagin, one time a woman looked like she had a tumor so big in her stomach, she looked like she was pregnant. And the Holy Ghost said, punch her. Well, you better be a man of faith. You better be a man of boldness. And you better know that you hear from the Holy Ghost. But he did it, bam! And she went, where'd it go? And he said, I don't know. Praise God, it's gone. Hallelujah. If he moves on you to just simply take the hand of someone and give them a word of encouragement, do it. Amen. If he prompts you, like I said, to go up to somebody in the grocery store, then yield. Glory to God. Personal obedience in this area sparks and fans manifestations of the Spirit. Moves of God, revivals, suddenlies in our lives, happenings in our lives. Can you say amen? And I think understanding this, what Brother Hagin used to call the spirit of seeing and knowing, is very important. So many times he'd just say, I just, sometimes coming to church, I'll just be praying in the Holy Ghost, and I'm not trying to make anything happen. I saw myself ministering to you a couple of weeks. I just did what I knew I should do before the service ever started. I knew I was going to do that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Mac talked about being in one of those wild kind of services, and he's a very, if you know Mac Hammond, he's a very intelligent man, a very dignified man. And he said, so, you know, this stretches him a little bit. And he said it was one of those services where the mic was being passed around, but nobody could speak. You ever been in a service like that? I remember that even as a young Baptist boy, my preacher just all of a sudden. And then we have examples in the Bible where their tongue cleared, they couldn't speak because the Holy Ghost is on them. Well, you know, you have that service and people are running and people are dancing and people are doing that and people are laughing in the Holy Ghost. But at the end of the service, like Max said, you find out that people got saved, people got filled with the Holy Ghost, people got healed, people whose marriages were on the brink of divorce were restored. So, you know, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. And so he says, Mac said, my fear was they were going to hand me that, because he's the pastor of the church, you know, Brother Hagin's visiting. He said, my fear was they're going to hand me the microphone and I'm going to be the only one that can speak. He said, but he said, I knew he was going to hand me the microphone. And he said, I just saw myself doing, he said, I saw myself getting up and preaching a message on salvation. And he said, he handed me the microphone, and for 3 minutes, with passion and great fervor and enthusiasm, I preached one of the greatest altar call, get saved messages you ever heard in your life. He said, except no word, nobody heard anything. I'm just... Now watch this, I want you to hear this. He said, after the service, he said, you know, Brother Hagin was there, so he said, I had the privilege to spend time with him and ask him some questions. And he said, so I asked him, I said, you know, was that really God or was that? He said to me, before you jumped up there, did you see yourself doing that? Yes, I answered. How did you know? He said, it's called seeing and knowing of the Spirit. He then went on to explain that this is a method God will use to impart direction and instruction to us and cited several biblical examples. Brother Hagin strongly encouraged me to continue obeying such promptings of the Spirit, even if the action seems silly or meaningless. How about taking that to heart? A few days later, and maybe you've seen the video, he very famously ran up to the pulpit and somehow, you know, they had the big faith pulpit up there, you know, this high, somehow jumped on top of the pulpit, danced a jig on top of the pulpit and jumped off of it and then ended up in the flower bed behind the altar of the church. Anybody ever see that? Again, at that service, people were marvelously healed. People were marvelously set free. Things happened in the realm of the Spirit. Whatever He says, do, do it. If you want to have experiences with God, learn to instantly obey the Holy Ghost when He moves on you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Happenings of God. Suddenlies of God. You know what I mean when I say suddenly? How many of you know what I mean by that? You read in the book of Acts and say, suddenly. They're just quietly, nice, not polite. And suddenly, something happened. Suddenlies, moves of God, revivals, manifestations of the Spirit happen when believers personally obey and boldly yield to the promptings of the Spirit of God in their life. You want to have revival in your life? You want to get back in tune with God? You want to get back to where you used to be if you need to be? You want to stay in tune with God? You want to help your church corporately be involved in constant revival? Then stir yourself up spiritually. Develop spiritual hunger. Expect these things to happen. Pray, glory to God, and then personally obey the movings of the Spirit of God in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of that? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. The next verse, the next line in the same verse is, cleanse your hands. He's talking to Christians. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. But you look at it in context. Doing some things you shouldn't be doing. Just not in tune with God. Amen. Too much of the world in your life. Legitimate things, illegitimate things. Then humble yourself. Weep and mourn over it. Return unto God. Draw close to God. He'll give grace to you and He'll lift you up. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't He wonderful? See, grace is right in that passage because that's what He's saying. Look, he goes, God gives more grace, but grace is there. God gives grace. Aren't you thankful for His grace? Amen. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say, I'm hungry for God. I'm going to stay hungry for God. I expect God to move in my life. I expect manifestations of the Spirit. Moves of the Spirit. Revival. Everywhere I go. In my home. In my own personal life. In my church. And in my nation. I expect good things to happen. And I pray. Prayer avails much. I pray to God. He hears me. And He answers my prayer. And look at me, look at me. Let me tell you something about this spiritual hunger thing. It's not like, and I understand a little bit, oh God, move. We desperately, oh God, we're desperate for you. You can have all you God you want to at any moment you want to. You don't have to beg God to come down and do something for you. You just have to drink and you have to eat. It'd be like going to Nana's house there. And she's got a spread. You're going, oh God, Matthew. I mean, Matthew, you're not Matthew. And why? Going, oh God. God, Nana, please, oh God, Nana, please feed me. Wyatt, just sit at the table and eat. When we first moved to Cleveland, I don't know, maybe Jewel, you know, I like baked beans now, but I never just like pork and beans or baked beans that much, you know. But when we came to Cleveland, I went to Miss Jewel's house, and she had baked beans and it had ground beef in them. Holy Toledo. Changed my whole, you know, and other spices and things. I said, man, how many of you know that's a thing? And you don't go everywhere in the South and have that. Well, Wyatt doesn't like ground beef. But yeah, that's a kid that doesn't like hamburgers. That's all right. He doesn't have to. He likes steak. Boy, he'll chow down on that puppy. So when Nana makes it, Margaret has made those beans with the ground beef in them ever since we moved to Cleveland and learned it from Jewel. But when people come to our house and she's having a meal that includes baked beans, she will cook a whole little separate bowl without ground beef just for Wyatt. His sister's giving him a big kiss. I'm telling you, see some of these songs is, oh, we're so desperate for God. Oh, God, please. You don't have to beg God to move. He's already moved. He prepares a table before you. Everything you need is on the table. If you're thirsty, drink. You can drink of the Spirit all you want. You can eat of the Spirit all. You can eat of the Word all you want. You know, those are sister passages. You all right? You all right? It's just 2:30. No, it's just 11:20. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes you have to slow down, not to speed up. In Ephesians, be not drunk with wine. You know, if you drunk is excess. Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess. And I'm not advocating drinking any, by the way, but be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Just go ahead and be a spiritual glutton. Be filled with the Spirit. I hadn't got to it, but I'm just quoting it. Where's that? Amen. Be not drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then the sister book to Ephesians is Colossians. Here he says, be filled with the Spirit. And in Colossians he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, full measure, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. See, over here he talked about speaking to yourselves. Now he says, be filled with the Spirit. Now he says, be filled with the Word. He could have said in Ephesians, let the Spirit dwell in you richly, and he could have said over here, be filled with the Word. You understand what I'm getting at? Be full of God. Just drink and eat all you want to. Glory to God. And when it comes to the Spirit of God moving, you know, Jesus said, come and drink. You can't say it any better than Mark Hankin said. He didn't say, come and think. He said, come and drink. So when the Spirit of God is moving and He comes on you, don't think, just yield. Whatever if you want an experience with God, just yield. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say, I'm yielding to God. Boldly and expectantly. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. You haven't eaten those baked beans today? Tomorrow? Well, at what time? And no. I'm teasing you. But seriously, what time? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came this morning?
Yes.
Say, the Lord is good.
He's good to me.
And His mercy endures forever. I'm a yielded,
bold,
full of faith,
obedient,
servant of God.
God
bless you. We love you so much. You're dismissed. Glad you were with us online. Amen. Have a wonderful Independence Day celebration. Thank you, Jesus.